Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still Taser, but
It's awful cute. And I have a crowd started, so I think I better open up the lines and let some of these people in. One that beat me here was Sky. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Sky, you know, I have to tell you that the other day when I was on the phone with Hatter, he admitted to me that he can no longer hear or say the word Sky just once. anyway. Uh-huh. Right behind Sky is the dynamic. This is the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life. Kay.
Hello.
And her hubby Steven. Welcome to.
There she is.
Oh, there she is. And their sidekick, Queen Victoria. With her cute little meow. And right behind Queen Victoria is none other than Wayne Jent. Hey, Wayne.
Hello, poet of the world.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, too. Oh, that's my cue for words there. Okay. Oh, did
Queen
you bring
Victoria
a poem? No? Oh, okay. Well, thank you for answering. and I appreciate you being here. And I think that's the first time I giggled today, so that was cool. Now, let me see. I know she's very talkative. I'm loving it. Don't apologize. It's improving the mood immensely. Now, I feel bad. I'm a little off my game, and I forgot to ask Sky she was here before me. Did you need to go first, or can you go after the duo?
Well, I'm going to go after the duo.
Okay, cool.
I'll then. Yeah.
Cool. Then, as normal, I am going to grab the poem that Kay, the owner of A Poetic Slice, brought with her, and she can kick off the show for us on Enchanted Whispers. So, show us what you got, please, Kay.
Okay, I kind of made mine dark because I also made it to fit our upcoming Edgar Allan Poe show. So I call this Masculine and Blade of Choice Festoons. Ladder ends of patience, suits concerns, threats of demolition, vessels of sheaf, dress and fields, maternity of wards and fronts, exuberance of eye, coffin through the mold lacquer dwelling, coal bins through the wickerwork, pines nest, wings of the feather, a dotty girl, pinching the cranes of Lecter Hall's immediacy, roster to pedlo and swarms compliance, close to your chest and kins to buckle the kerchief, laced in blood, the whistle of loose kettles, coffer at the paws, strong boxes, the crow calls and saying, don't bury me yet, end poem.
Whoa, don't bury me yet. The crow calls are saying, don't bury me yet. That, what a way to end it, because that's like such a freaky thought that there would even be a reason for the crow to be, quote, saying that. So, like, the ending really got me. Pinching the cranes of Lecter Hall's immediacy roster to pedala is swarms compliance. Swarms compliance. Whoa, what a combo. Close to your chest and kins to buckle the kerchief laced in blood. Vicious. The imagery through here is like crazy good, and it goes great with the photo. And I'm trying to look to see what you matched it up with. Cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. I was just wondering, because, I mean, it came out excellent. Exuberance of eye, what an expression. But I'm going back to that. Pinching the cranes of Lecter Halls. Love that. I think that this has got great images to pull from the photo, and it's got a couple of cringeworthy spots. Like I said, the ending, I got the chills. How do you even ever have the reason to say, don't bury me yet. Okay. So, like, creepy good ending. Great brevity. Thank you so much. Let me go to Skype.
I'm on the radio. Actually, I'm on the radio. Come up here.
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I absolutely loved it. I love the images of the coughing through the mold, lacquer dwelling coal bin. I really, really loved that. It made me think of blackened lungs. It's just really. And then by the time you get down to the handkerchief full, the full of the blood. I mean, it probably has nothing to do with tuberculosis. I'm just thinking of those TB coughs where those people just cough up the blood and the handkerchief. And it really could be any sickness, really. But in my mind, that's where I'm going. But your images of that, of storing coal and things, lacking the mold, I thought was quite strong, really descriptive. Poe does love to bury people alive, so maybe sometimes we're going to call him back a little bit. But no, not yet. Because the man does like to loves to do that. Or they come back from the dead or whatever, so I could definitely see the Poe feel. I thought it was really clever, too, the crow cause and saying so. I like the ideas of the crow cause. Again, very poetic. Bringing in, the themes that suit his type of writing. And then also bringing in this picture, which is very, it's very post, mortem and things like that with the crow and with the skeleton and perhaps a little bit of gravesite if you really want to pull things into the dead earth around it. So I thought you pulled both prompts in quite well.
Thank you.
Must have been somewhere that I was supposed to read and I didn't yet.
Thank you.
Awesome.
700.
Wayne, would you like to comment for Kay?
Yes, I would. I said, you're just with so much emotion that had me kind of frozen in my chair while I'm sitting here sweating. It's a great job. And a little darkish. With great phrases and description to be such a short poem, you did a wonderful job on this. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne. Wipe that sweat.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, yours is on the board. Will you comment for Kay and then read it for us, please?
Yes, I like this a lot, too. I really like that in line, though. Don't bury me yet. It made me think, I think I saw a movie or something where they said that, don't bury me, I'm not dead yet. But that's what I was thinking of. I really like the dark imagery in this, and I think it definitely fits both the picture and Edgar Allan Poe. It's very well done.
Thank you.
For sure. Cool. Thank you, Kay. And Stephen, you're up.
All right. I call this Our Ghosts Still Hear the Train. Morning hot coffee steam daydreams of photo album sights, whispering through dark roast aroma with memories that kiss and bite. Upon developed ivory keys, where once fingers danced, beside the decked dining table, around cousins did prance. Of baked honey ham hugs and smiles and shepherd's pie prattles, cornflakes, potato cheese, and gold, while guessing gifts do rattle. Carrots and green jello mold musings, creamy pumpkin pie puns, russet salad, a preferred dish of all, cabbage rolls roused aunt to run. But now in that house of potluck joy rings laughter of ghostly past. Empty chairs where family sat, dusty floors where children once danced. Snapping back to extant morn, remember family who have now died. Pour cream into coffee and clouds roll in, the rainstorm just fall from eyes. Then poem.
Wow. Well, for one thing, I can genuinely say that I did not expect to be made hungry when I put that photo up. That's quite interesting. You started with that coffee, and then just I'm still breathing the aroma from the coffee that you painted for me in that scene. And then you brought us into baked honey warm hugs, and they sounded so yummy and warm and green Jell-O. Did you know you can keep the carrots, but I really like green Jell-O. Make up pumpkin pie puns. Way cool metaphor. Cabbage rolls, route ant to run. I can imagine. I had a mix of emotions there as I was reading, because it would bring, in some ways, little fond memories, but then like the carrots in the Jell-O. I mean, do people really do that? And why? It's just, you had my brain in chaos trying to figure out whether I wanted to bask in the thought and smells and stuff of the foods and whatnot that you were putting through, or get lost in the tragedy of carrots and green Jell-O and the thought of why Auntie might have been running after those cabbage rolls. And I'm pretty sure you shared that reason she ran once upon a time. But then I'm hit with sadness at those empty chairs. So this was like a plethora of emotions and sights and sounds. It was a trip with the senses. Really cool share. Heather, what do you think? Go ahead, Stephen.
I was just going to say the green Jell-O mold with the carrots in it is a holiday staple in my family. And the only people that eat it is my mother and her brother, my uncle. That's the only two people that touch it.
Is it? I mean, it just seems like a way to hide the carrots, hoping maybe somebody would notice them and they can get some of the vitamin from it or something. I don't know. I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around why somebody would put carrots in there. Okay, I see the family thing, but, well, I guess, that, you know, if you're hungry, you eat carrots and green Jell-O. I don't know what, but it just seems so wrong. But, again, really, really cool. Heather, what do you think?
Peppermint leaves in a lime Jell-O.
That would be all right.
And you eat Edward D. Cadello. Look. Yeah, it's good for you. Peppermint.
That doesn't anywhere near as bad as carrots. Just saying.
Carrots? Was it cooked?
No, raw shredded carrots. I got a picture of it.
I guess maybe it's a substitute for the crunchiness from coconut, and somebody decided they liked it. You know, it might be great.
So the carrots are
nice. It just might be
Yeah, I don't.
Leave it alone.
chili and tuna.
Right?
I don't think it's great. I avoid it at all costs.
Kay, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I like this because it definitely speaks of remembrances, the family of yesterday's, and I know that means a lot to you because, yeah, you come from a big family, which means a lot of big get-togethers from the past that you definitely think about often. But it definitely speaks of yesterday's in its own way. That's healthier in the heart and mind. It's beautiful, Sharon.
Thank you, hon. And a picture of Jell-O salad is coming to the board right now.
I can't believe you have a photo. Cool. And while I'm going to go find that, how about we get a comment from Wayne, please?
Yes, that sounds like it. Yeah, you put carrots, shredded carrots in Jell-O, you have crunchy Jell-O. Because carrots don't have much flavor to them, so it'd be a crunchy Jell-O. That'd sound good to me. This one was great. The way you read it was perfect with the mood, set a mood of a semi-sadness, a dose of reality. Had great descriptions in it. I liked the dining room when the kids used to play and all that. It was just kind of a sad touch to it, and the ending was really, really sad. Great job, this point. I love it. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Great comment. And I'm looking at it on the board. It looks like a soup or a salad until you realize what it is. It doesn't really look you know, it looks healthy. It looks like I would grab the bottle of ranch dressing and smother it and enjoy until you realize that there's Jell-O in there. But again, I'm going to stop picking on it because it could be heavenly. Who knows? I mean, yeah. Hatter, what did you think?
It reminded me, I often think of the house I grew up in, the great room, big room that we all grew up in. You know, wonder what, who's there now type of thing. The past, the Jell-O gets me. I'm trying to find the picture. Did you post a picture?
Yeah, you got to refresh the
channel. Oh, there it is. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that a celery too or something?
There's a lot of stuff in that one. My mother doesn't put all that in hers, but it looks very similar.
Trari wants sort of ABC gum. Well, that looks like ABC salad. Just saying.
So much of it.
Yeah. So much.
It looks like goldfish. It looks like goldfish in a pond.
Oh yeah.
thanks, Hatter. Did you comment? Would you like to comment? Yeah.
I did come in.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm sorry. I'm just a little off my game here. So that must mean that it is time for Sky to comment. And then before you read, I'll have Stephen push shows. So, Sky, what you think? Want some Jell-O?
I'm a chicken. I don't even like Jell-O, but like that, if I did like Jell-O, that would be a no Jell-O for me. Sorry, Stephen.
I agree.
Thing right now. I don't know about that. I haven't said one thing on the board all night, except for that one no. you know, I almost took this picture. I really love this picture. I love pianos. I loved the fog. I thought it was just really, really great. And you're going to really like where I'm going to go with this comment, Stephen, because you're a fishing kind of guy. And I felt like you were fishing with us. I felt like you were baiting us. You put that bait out there. You brought all these beautiful memories, gorgeous descriptions with the foods and the nostalgia, and I have to agree with Deb, the pumpkin pie puns, the alliteration, and the cleverness of that line was brilliant. You really bring us in, and then you hook us, and then you gutted out my heart with all this end. But it's very true, and it's very true. But I kind of felt baited. I felt like you were reeling us in, and then you gutted out my heart, speaking of the ghostly past and those empty chairs. And it merely makes you reflect on the people that have passed on and how tables seem to dwindle and dwindle. You know, you got to have more kids, you know, to start adopting them and put them around the table. It's fine. But it is very true. It is very true. And I know, like Kay said, family means a lot to you. And we speak a lot about Christmas time and holiday time, about how as you get older, you know, in reflecting in my parents, too, seeing them in their comments and what they say, it is a real thing, you know, really well done.
Thank
awesome
you.
Comment.
Thanks, guys.
And Stephen, before you tell us about the show, let me just let Liquid Damage in. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Better late than never. And I want to know, how do you always manage to come in on two lines at a time? That's the strangest thing. It's down to one now, but when I saw you in the studio, you were like, you always come in twice. That's crazy. Anyway, before Stephen tells us what's up, did you happen to hear him read? I'm not sure how long you were in there.
No, I sure didn't.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted to check. Okay, so Stephen, how about you tell us what the deal is at A Poetic Slice this week?
Okay. Yeah, and real quick, just to let everybody know, the reason I titled that poem the way I did is because this was about my aunt's house where most holiday parties were at, and they had a train tracks in their backyard, so every now and then the train would go through. And it didn't affect them at all, but everybody else would be like, well, the house is shaking. But they were all like, this is normal. But that's why I put it there. Show's coming up at Poetic Slice of Life. Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and it is our monthly visit with Agnes Cecil, a wonderful watercolor artist. Kay found about a dozen paintings from her to write to. Check those out. Movement of Sound is on Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we're doing U2. So we'll listen to U2 songs and read some poetry about those songs and learn about those songs. And Friday is Name That Film at 8 p.m. Eastern. Just bring yourself and try to guess what movie is playing, and that takes us to Sky.
Cool. And I will have her tell us about that and then read. Well, she can tell us about that, and then she can comment for you and read. How about that?
Yes, so Saturday night, 8 p.m., is Storyboard Special Edition. It's going to be the steampunk edition, long-awaited. So everybody gets their own picture, and it's all tied in through Disney. All I ask is that you put any characteristics, you know, traits, even if it's through metaphor, twist and storyline of the original characters, even if it's through a metaphor, and have fun. There are a lot of people signed up already. If you want one, privately message me, and I will send you a few options. And, yeah, 8 p.m. Saturday. And then I already commented on Stephen, so should I just go ahead and read my poem?
Deborah, unmuted.
Yes, please.
All right, I just want to put a disclaimer out there because I almost, a lot of times with these poems, these prompts, I go character right. This is not a character right, but I did use the picture as a metaphor. This is called Anon by Sky Darkle. She's a starless coat made of black ink, a mane of tasseled lines and weld fingertips. She is the arcane whisperer on virgin pages, an enchantress slain only to rise again. And in the swarms of circling murder, those tiny deaths that perch upon the soul, she breathes in her summer and keeps it hinged beneath her breast. Therefore, she does not cower to winter pages, those weeping oaks on bending sugar pines. Rather, she crafts and redrafts all that lives in her still, naming it Anon. And it was written to the pitcher and to the enchanted whispers and to the quote by Virginia Woolf. I would venture to guess that Anon, who wrote so many poems without signing them, is often a woman. End poem.
Well, I like that you had a quote to go with it, too. That's pretty cool. Right from the get-go, she has a starless coat made of black ink. I love the way you worded that. A mane of tasseled lines and weld fingertips. Really quite original, unexpected. And in the swarms of circling murders, those tiny deaths that perch upon the soul. I love that, the tiny deaths that perch upon the soul. You pull some really, really great metaphors together to do this one. To winter pages, those weeping oaks and bending sugar pines. So like all the little nuances that you pulled in to bring these images to life for us. And an enchantress slain only to rise again. I like that you did use the slain part because it sort of explains that sword there, the bloody sword in the snow. But even like, I like it even more that after that, she would only rise again. So, I mean, I thought you did a really, really clever job with this brevity. I very, very much, Mike, where you took it.
Thank
I'm
you,
jealous Dad. Of a couple of those metaphors, especially the circling murders from those tiny deaths that perch upon the soul. Wowza. Let me get you some quotes. Quotes. Comments. May I please have a comment, Kay?
Well, yeah, I like the way this reads. I definitely like lines like Enchantress slain, only to rise again. And then speaking about tiny death perch upon the soul. For some reason, when I had read that, it made me think of that Axeman of New Orleans, because that's what he said to Fiona about what he gave her, and saying, I was the one who gave you all those tiny deaths. My mind, that's where I go. As we were talking about in our show, sometimes your mind goes in different places when you read somebody's work.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like how you speak about, therefore, she does not cower to winter pages, the weeping oaks and bending sugar pines. Rather, she crafts and redrafts. All that lives in her still, naming it anon. I like those lines because it speaks to the character of her, the strength, to rebirth and standing tall. It's a great way.
Thank you. There were a lot of great women authors who never got published, except under anon, and they did not cower on the pages. So, yeah, thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Kay. And Stephen, what did you think?
Yeah, I got it wrong. the comment that
you
I just left
You can't get it wrong.
It.
It's how you perceive it. It's how you perceive it. No one gets it wrong.
I know. But I did tell you my comment. Since you let me know this is a metaphor, I'll change the comment that I was originally going to say. I felt that this is a metaphor for someone who went through some terrible trauma and became stronger from getting through it, despite those occasional triggers that bring it to the forefront every now and then. But it's an excellent write, no matter what it means. How's that?
Thank you, Stephen.
Oh, great comment. I agree with Sky, though. Whatever you pull out of it is how it spoke to you. How could it be wrong?
Yeah.
Now let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
All right. This is a great read you had there. Amazing little phrases in this poem. You get your voice give justification to the phrases. It's a calming effect all the way through the poem. Those teeny deaths that perch upon the soul. That's just too bad. That's a great line there. Always do those good words and a good poem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne.
And how about a comment from Linda, please?
Yes. Hi, Sky.
Hi.
I love the picture that you wrote to. It's just so beautiful. But I thought this piece was like chilling from start to finish. It kept my interest the whole way through, and I loved how it was so well crafted. And very bewitching and beautiful, fantastic imagery, and the metaphors were really strong. You really knocked it out of the ballpark with this. I really loved it. It was beautiful, and thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
You're
awesome
welcome.
Comment. And okay. You know what? I did put my poem on the board, but I can't help myself. I had to do this before I read it. Hey, Sky.
Darkwing, yeah.
That's who I got.
Wait,
for
what was that?
No, you didn't hear it. Wait a minute. Couldn't help myself.
I am so glad you picked that one.
Yeah,
it's Darkwing Duck. I know.
And I feel like I've had the prompt for like 751 years, so it's about time the show got here. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you guys, I don't bring poems to my own show very often, but I was inspired by this one, so I brought it. And now if I can go back there and find it again where I just put it, I'll read for you guys. There it is. Okay. It's called No Glass Slipper, Just Combat Boots. Here we go. As the band plays the slow song, we dance at the harvester's ball, neath the gazebo in the garden at the big outdoor banquet hall, dressed in my black velvet gown with the leather boots and shawl. She stalks from the punch bowl. Her flesh flushes the green hue. Rage marks eyes, bloodshot red, drinking juice. She stares at you. Blood flows chilled as eyes blink, shocked from the thing that you do. Walking and pointing to the band, then slow dancing with her, too. Waltzing her over the dance floor is a move the two of you planned, grinning. You then salsa with her, fingers thread in her slimy hand. Running to the courtyard border on the side with the water's edge, picturing myself standing with her, shoving that fat ass off the ledge. Just to hide myself from the world, the tomboy in me climbs the tree to sit on the ivy-wrapped cypress and mist from the river circles me. Then out from the milkweed bush, a lace butterfly lands on my knee. His licorice-trimmed wings flutter, perching with me on that branch. Just as I spy two hot guys up on the stairs of Longhorn Ranch. Turning heads to scan the property, they spot me in the cypress trees, tip their heads and then wink at me. This butterfly lips to surf the breeze, and the cowboys go home with me. And boom.
The cowboys go home with me. Lane, what'd you think? Wayne, what'd you think?
Give me 1 second. I'm chewing some food up. I'll be one minute. 1 second.
Okay. Sky. Okay.
She must be
muted.
Sorry.
Did you say
Sky?
I can come in.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Wayne, are you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. As soon as I put a consumer in my mouth, you call Wayne. I said, "Oh no." Anyway, this is the poem. It's great, written real well. You guys got eight syllables per line, balanced perfectly all the way down the page. It reads great. It's metered. Everything about the perfect reading. It's a great storyline with it too. So I love it, Deb. You did a great job with this.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that.
And Sky.
I thought it was bad. I was on mute, but I was giggling when you were like, and the two hot guys walked in, and then I thought that was really, really quite, I just giggled a little bit. I really loved it. I thought you were really bringing in your storytelling skills in this one, and I really like storytelling, so I was right there. I love the picture because it's very mystical. She's on a tree, so like that's right where I want to be. It looks like she's right above some water, so... it's like a great place for me. I love how you bring in the details, like the boot and the shawl, how you talk about the punch bowls, the socks from her punch bowls, her flesh flushes. Oh, my goodness. The green hue. I really liked those intricate details there. And then you going down to using the dance, the waltzing her over to the dance floor. You bring in this entire storyline with great details. And if anybody ever hears me talk, I always say details really make a story. Because you cannot just say, I went down the road and I came back and it's nothing. But if you start putting in all that meat and all those bones and building upon them, that's what you're going to remember when you think back to this poem, are those intricate details. Which I really enjoyed, especially how you brought in this specific cypress tree and the ivy wrapped around it, because I think you can imagine, even if the picture got taken out, you can see much far beyond the picture, too, with the cypress and the ivy. And then, of course, I really liked that bit of humor in there with the bringing them home and this, you know, I just thought it was really, really quite clever. Really well done. Somebody cut me off.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
it very much. Is Linda with us?
Yes, I am.
What do you think?
Well, I thought it was really cool. I loved how the band went from waltzing to salsa. That was my first got me. And then you had me from the start to finish with the tomboy thing too. I was a giant tomboy when I was growing up. I had to keep up with all my brothers, and climbing trees was my favorite thing to do. So you really had some cool imagery in this piece that took me home. And I just think it was a fantastic write, Deb. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And I have Wayne's poem ready to go. And when you guys tell me you see it, I will push his corrected SoundCloud. He sent a second one. Obviously, he was not as happy with the first one. Okay, now, do you guys see it?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I love the title. Here we go.
This poem is called "Don't Drink the Kool-Aid." Enchanted whispers in thick, fluted forests full of fungi. Horn-headed dragon drapes after flamingo fly. Under serrated shadows of teriyaki toadstools, dehydrated dragon demands drinks from pools. Rigid river rodent rose with waterlogged word. Aluminum alloy feeds poisonous puddles. He heard. Assassinated frog, earthworm, bug, and butterfly. Scorched and scalded, pierced and pitted. All would die. Blemished, blistered, puckered web, wing wonder, wep. Under magnolia moon in mosaic maple, dragon slept. In dawn's diamond sunbeams, daffodil and dandelions dance. After dizzy dragon drank, dropped into terminal trance. In.
Oh, poor dragon. What an ending. After dizzy dragon drank, dropped into a terminal trance. Oh, you got me. Jeez, and you had just this calm as can be voice, like trying to lull us into a sense of security. And then you were reading about terracotta toadstools and dehydrated dragon demands drink from pools. Great alliteration. assassinated frog, earthworm, bug and butterfly, scorched and scaled, pierced and pitted, all would die. You went all vicious, Wayne. Jeez.
Yep.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally unexpected.
Cold
but I'm
water.
Really, yeah, well, I get it. But like I said, completely unexpected. And I'm still stuck on the fact that poor dragon is in a terminal trance.
Exactly.
Very cool brevity. I like where you took this one. I can't imagine what could have been wrong with the first one, but I do like the contrast between what's going on in your words and the calmness in your voice as you read. I thought that played really well.
Great.
Awesome share. Before I get another comment, let's say hello to AP. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hanging in there. How you doing?
Well, I thought the poem was like a game of Cluedo. It was like, which of the things that he's just gone past has the dragon died by, and by what thing? You know, was it the terracotta toadstools that in the lounge room, or was it the flamingo in the back porch?
Is it the aluminum alloy in the water?
That's it. That's the one.
That's like Clue. Who assassinated the frog? Like poison? Or is fire, yeah.
Anyway, that's what I thought, Ted, for what it's worth. Except I don't know where Deb's gone. Hello, Deb.
Oh, I'm talking to my mute button. Sorry about that. Before I get another comment, I have a quick question, AP. What's your time looking like?
I'm a little tight-ish, but that's okay. That's sort of normal for the minute.
Okay, well, put your link on the board, and I'll get you in after we do some comments for Mr. Gent.
Of course.
And I'm going to go over and see what Hatter thought of that gem.
What?
Did you like Wayne's poem?
Oh, yeah.
Me?
Yes, I did. It puzzled me at first when everybody got burned. It reminded me of burning ditch on a farm. Because anything in the way just gets it, you know. And
yep.
That's what the vision I had, the visual. But then back to the dragons and the dizzy dragon dropped into the terminal trance. Great ending. Really?
Yeah, the water got poisoned. He drank the poison water anyway because he got so thirsty, and they killed him.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Awesome comment. And Linda, tell me what you thought.
Well, Wayne, once again, your alliteration skills are out of this world crazy. I mean, just awesome. This was an enchanting and whimsical little story with a twinge of death and sadness. Outrageous imagery, too. I think it was really well done. But that alliteration in there just makes the whole thing. And the way that you read your poems is always, like Deb said, you're always so calm and it's always slow and rhythmic, but really great job, Wayne. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah, you girls get me excited when I'm live.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Wayne.
Yeah, thanks for the comments.
Now, let's see what Mr. A.P. Taylor brought for us. Take us away.
I've gone with a traditional Villanelle this time to the purple dragon image. I think it was number 26. This is Veyers of Dragons. And it goes a little bit like this. Enchanting whispers of the sea, castle wall surges, ancient locks. Veyers of Dragons fly, soon betray. In repose, purple dragon free, below are skulls and topaz blocks. Enchanting whispers of the sea. Above, the darkened skies agree, a guide stars, waves below mocks. Veyers of dragons fly, soon be three. Mist locks mountains, so cannot flee, whistling surge subsides as a fox. Enchanting whispers of the sea. Behind stone turret's stern decree, as none by foot will pass these locks. Veyers of dragons fly, soon be three. Many here treasures guarantee their fate far worse than simple stocks. Enchanting whispers of the sea, veyers of dragons fly, soon be free. End poem.
Well, I really, really like the fact that the part you did, the trickle on, included the enchanted whispers. It really drove home. And it is an enchanted rite. Enchanting whispers at the sea, all surges, ancient locks, where dragons fly, soon be three. I like that. That's like the little dragon family there. Above the darkened sky, agree, it guides stars, waves below mocks, where dragons fly, soon be three. And then the next one, ending it again, whistling surge subsides as a fox, enchanting whispers of the sea. I almost think that you could have broke out in song here, and it would have, it would have came like spot on with the mood that you set with the carrying that enchanting whisper all the way. I really like where you took this, and this is another one where you just like just trickled in and grabbed it and ran, came up with this. Another gorgeous villanelle that, you know, you're really good at these. They're not easy. Some people think, you know, you look at it and you got so many lines to repeat that, you know, how hard can it be? But it's really hard because it's not just the repeating lines. They have to make sense and make you feel, too. So you're really, really good at them. This is gorgeous.
Thanks, Deb. This is the traditional eight-syllable villanelle, too, which is a little bit tougher because you've only got a very short line space to work with.
Yeah. It definitely not an easy task. Hatter, what did you think? Hatter, are you muted?
I think so.
Okay, hit the phone dropped. Okay, how about if I go to Wayne, please?
Yes, this is a wonderful villanelle. Got great flow and the flipping lines. And then the lines, the flipping lines will read real well. So that's what makes one work real well, because it's got to have multiple meanings and it's got to be able each line has to start or end the stanza. So it's great. You did great on this right here. It's a very good job. And what is the two soon to be three? What's it? Understanding. What does it mean soon to be three?
Oh well, I just wanted to put multiple dragons in there, Wayne, and I had my. I couldn't use two because it didn't rhyme, so I went for three.
Okay, soon be three dragons. Okay, that's cool. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
I
know it's two, but I'm sure there's another one somewhere. You know, it just didn't.
It's got to rhyme.
I had to go with
three. Yeah, if it don't rhyme, you're going to have five. It's going to have
yeah,
rhyme.
Yeah, exactly.
Great job. Great writing. Great style. Great writing. Great read.
Yeah, I like the three, though, because I think it gives you the feel of the dragons becoming a. You know, getting another member of the family. I thought the three was intentional, not just because of rhyme. Anyway, Linda, what did you think, dear?
Mesmerizing. It was so carefree, and I love the dragons. And I love that the dragon was going to have a baby, because that's how I perceive it
mm-hmm.
to be to soon be free.
Yeah, that's
It was just such a cool little story. And behind stone turret's stern decree, as none by foot will pass these locks, wires of dragons fly, soon be three. Wonderfully worded. The whole thing was just wonderfully worded. I really loved it, AP. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Awesome comment.
You're welcome.
And let me see, Hatter, you dropped in the middle of there. Did you get to hear AP read? And if so, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, like the repeating lines, you do. You repeat the lines for your rights. I think that's an added little piece of who you are. It was weird.
They're really important. You got to get them right. If you get them wrong, the whole thing just falls over. So you're absolutely right. They're key.
You know, and it would suck to have a castle and everything and then have the dragon's nest just outside your walls, you know, breathing.
Yeah, yeah. Makes perfect. No, it makes perfect. The only thing I was really excited about is I learned a new word, and that's Vaya, which is a collection of dragons, obviously, from the fictional world of Perm in the late 1800s.
Oh.
So I was quite excited. It's the first time I've ever used that word. So there you go. I always get excited when I learn a new word.
I do too when I do. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fire.
Okay, so I think everyone in the that's still in the room got to comment. And I know you said you were
beautiful.
On a crunch, so you probably have to beat
me.
But a brilliant share. Appreciate it very much. And we'll talk soon.
Bye. Yeah, no, I try to get in here, even if it's for a short period of time. I try to get in and get out on a, you know, on your Mondays. So, you know, I don't miss too many.
I know, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Deb. Talk soon.
See you later.
Good night, AP.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Okay, bye.
Later.
Okay, now, Linda, since I just read for you on Saturday, I don't know if you know what your next show will be about, but why don't you just put out there what your date is and stuff like that, get a little bit of info.
Yeah, I don't have my calendar on me, but it's the third Saturday. It's always the third Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And, yeah, I don't have a topic yet, but that will be coming soon, and I'll get the date so everybody will know when it's that specifically. We have a lot of fun. I tell a lot of stupid jokes, and we get some giggles, so come on down and have some fun. It's at La Cosa Nostra.
Awesome. And not that I won't have her push it again each time she happens to be around, but the third Saturday in April is the 23rd. So look for Linda that night.
There we go.
So, and I will wait to hear what your topic is. And in the meantime, I did add your link to the board, so if you wanted to take us away.
Oh. Certainly. This is called Dazzled by the Moon. On a fine, bright, moonlit night, when the wolves start to lurk, it's only then that lichens tend to go a bit berserk. Enchanted whispers lure him forth as twilight starts to fade. Anxiously he awaits for his mate's serenade. Then a song bewitching can be heard within the mist. A lichen song to lure him in to find his lover's kiss. Enchanted whispers lure him forth and bring him to desire. His mate awaits his lustful loins that calls forth passion's fire. Excitement fills their rapture, but it will end quite soon, although for now the lichens are being dazzled by the moon in poem.
I love the thought of Dazzled by the Moon. The title grabbed me right away. And then each little section, Enchanted Whispers lure him forth as twilight stars to fade. Anxiously, he awaits for his mate's serenade. You're always spectacular with your rhyme and flow, too. And the thought of him howling and being dazzled by the moon while he's seducing his mate there was really, really cool. And then, in the end, in the last stanza, although for now the lichens are being dazzled by the moon, it's sort of like full circle there. I like the enchantment being from that moon that dazzled them. And if you think about it, they do... It worked well for the photo art because a lot of stuff that the wolves do revolve around the moon, whether it's full and what position in the sky it is. They're brilliant at reading seasons and stuff by the moon. So the fact that you based the enchantment on the dazzle and on the couple and their mating session is quite beautiful. I love, again, the thought of being dazzled by the moon. Gorgeous brevity, Linda. And for you, this is like a mega brevity. But not,
yeah.
nonetheless detailed or packed with rhyme and flow. So fantastic. Wayne, what did you think?
Thank you, Deb.
I think this is another wonderful job by Linda. It's a great rhyme in it. It's got good flow. It kind of keeps you kind of hypnotized to it the whole time you're reading it. It's got a great rhythm to it. And the way you end each stanza, you end your stanza in such a perfect way that it's kind of made them complete, like being dazzled by the moon, that calls forth passion fire, to find the lover's kiss, and all those sort of just romantic, touch-me type lines that are just great. You did a good job at this poem. I love it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Welcome.
Fabulous comment. And Hatter has to eat his dinner, so he's there, but he can't talk right this second. So what I'm going to do, let me see here. Let me check over here. All right. We're in pretty good shape. So I think I will read for Angel, and then, Linda, I was going to get you to read for Allie, and I hoping that Crystal calls. She said she was going to try, so let's see how that goes. So in the meantime, if you guys would go ahead and click on Heavenly Angel, I'm going to give her my voice. And her poem is called Life is Simply Beautiful, Loving You by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Life and love seem so simple until you think about it. But upon reflection, I have discovered your words are written on my skin. Become as enchanted whispers spoken deep within the chambers of heart to not fade as days fade and not bleed as veins bleed. Time is nothing. Love only intensifies with each passing moment bathing in diamond dewdrops shimmering with silvery moonbeams. Your heart is so entwined with mine that I feel it through my fingers as you gently brush away a strand of hair. I feel it through your lips as they breathlessly speak my name before capturing mine. I can't remember a life without you. Don't want to remember a life without you, where I didn't understand things like sincerity or eternity. Heartstrings now strum in sequence. Soft whispers of tranquility permeate my being, loving you. End poem. Man, she is masterful at poems that are a declaration of love and commitment and lifetime and the appreciation for the person in her life and the way that she's treated. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And no matter when she pours her heart into it, and which direction she takes it, you can feel it. You can feel it, especially if you're her reader and you're trying to do it justice. So you pour yourself into there and you let it open you up and feel. And I could feel the love flowing through the poem as I read for her. Absolutely gorgeous, Cher. And as always, my honor to be your reader. Wayne, what did you think?
There it is. I said this is a picture prop poem, and that picture just screams out Heavenly Angel when you look at it. It's got the perfect mood of a Heavenly Angel, and when I look at it, when I look at the picture, I think that's Heavenly Angel. Do I hear anything else? And this is a great comic poem. It's kind of romantic comic poem that she does put it to perfection. She's like the romantic words that just make me feel warm all over. Just a great loving poem, and she's great at this, and I love it.
Beautiful comment, Wayne. Thank you. And Linda, will you comment for Angel while I grab Allie's poem?
Yeah, this was just so gorgeous. I can't even express it. Delicately written words flowed like honey on my mind. And what love and emotion is expressed here. The sensual feel of the piece is so lovely. I think this should be a front page pick. And if I knew how to do that, I would. Maybe somebody could do that. It's just so perfectly beautiful. It's cascading and like, I don't know how to express it. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous piece. And I thank Angel for sharing it with us.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And if you refresh, you should see Allie's on the board.
Yep. This is called Enchanted Whispers Filled the Air by Allie Sunshine. A girl laid in bed, she heard sirens. Sirens make her nervous. She thought they were bad people. She heard doors close, so she went further under the blankets. She heard pounding on the doors of the house. "Yikes," she whispered. There was a lot of noise downstairs. The mom was yelling and then started to sob. The dad, silent, no words, no emotion. The girl ventured downstairs to see what was occurring. When somebody made eye contact with the girl, she walked up the stairs. Someone gently whispered the following enchanting whispers: "You are safe, and it's okay. We are here to help." The girl ran upstairs to get one thing, her brother. They crept downstairs where officers hugged them. The girl started sobbing. They said something about a new family. The girl's brother yelled, "No." "Now I leave you with one question. If you were that girl, what would you have went upstairs to get?" In poem. Wow.
Great read. Go ahead.
I just feel the emotion in here because I know Allie and I'm getting to know her pretty well. This piece is so heartfelt. She had to be really strong and brave to write this. It's opening up her psyche and her feelings, and I think that's really brave of Allie. This is a really good piece, and I thank her very, very much for sharing it and allowing me to read it. Deb, thank you.
Thank you for reading it. Yeah, I know a little bit about some of the stuff she's referring to because she had mentioned a few things. And the direness of the sirens and the fear of the sirens and the stress are all showing. And then the girl ran upstairs to get one thing, her brother, and they crept downstairs where officers hugged them, and the girl started sobbing. You know, you figured it must have been so much relief, not only that she did get to her brother in time, but that when she got down at the bottom, there was someone there to save them. And the question at the end, which, again, has become Allie's trademark to leave us thinking with a question in mind. And you got to wonder how many people's first thought would have been about some thing they had upstairs rather than whether their brother got out. So I say it speaks a whole lot about the girl to begin with. You know what I mean? So sometimes I find myself wondering if she realizes how much she really does pack into one of these poems. And then when she leaves us with a question, there's so many ways it could go. It's a nice touch. It's a great share, Allie. Thank you so much. And again, Linda, thank you for reading. And Wayne, what did you think of Allie's poem? Oh, we lost his call there. Okay, let me see here. And Linda, Allie's on the board thanking you for reading for her. Just thought I'd mention that.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I don't know if usually when he's leaving, he says something on the board, and he didn't in this case, so we'll see what happens. In the meantime, Hatter's not back from eating. So what I'm going to do is put on some of the sound clouds, and then you and I will just comment, and I'm going to start with the one that Gerald Green sent, and I'm putting that on the board now, and you just let me know when you see it, Linda, and I'll push play.
Oh, I see it.
Cool. Okay, and here comes Gerald's poem.
Reflection, written and read by Gerald Green. He played most nights, at the Cattle Inn, where tips provided income, barely keeping him alive, and gifts of food were sustenance. Weekdays began at 5 o'clock, with studies of anatomy and modern pharmacology to keep up with assignments. To be a doctor was his dream, and everything must help in that regard. His work was what it was, except for Rosalie, who danced and waited tables wearing black but with a flower in her hair. Her favorite words to him were always whispered. Bright red sexy lips would sidle close and slowly whisper. Soft puffs of air would touch his ear. Each night the same would happen. Sometimes early, sometimes late, every time when least suspected. "Only I can make you happy," she would say. He knew that it would come, but he also knew his muse would pause as she penetrated where she shouldn't go. Sometimes his fingers stopped or even speeded up. Sometimes he stumbled in confusion, but quickly overcame emotion's interruption and resumed, while "Only I can make you happy" echoed in his tired mind. The new unusual relationship had reached its second year. Uncertain was its future, like a fledgling in the forest. A smiling disposition would not, could not, satisfy his need for more of what she couldn't be. He responded with a grin and didn't answer, knowing with persistence she would try to tantalize, repeating sweet entreats. A half a century later, as he played in solitude, considering his cancer and his few remaining days, he thought of Rosalie and what he'd done and didn't do. His memories compelled more music like at Cattle Inn, pretending, musing, letting fingers tickle ivory, mesmerizing with a simple melody. 3 months later, as he lay in bed, the nurse in white leaned close to listen, barely hearing what he whispered, as soft puffs touched her waiting ear. "Only I can make you happy."
Well, I like the way he ended that with like a whisper, that enchanted whisper. That was quite clever. But let's see, where do I want to go? To be a doctor was his dream, and everything must help him in that regard. His work was what it was, except for Rosalia. So in just that stanza there, as much as he wants to be a doctor, she's just as important there. Danced and waited tables wearing black, but with a flower in her hair. Her favorite words to him were always whispered. I like that little touch there. And then, of course, you know, describing her, he obviously has very fond memories. Bright red, sexy lips would settle close and slowly whisper. Soft puffs of air would touch his ear. And there's that gentle tickle. You can almost feel the breathy whisper as she's talking to him. A smiling disposition would not, could not satisfy his need for more of what she couldn't be. It was like, whoa, the emotions, the love, the power in here. And then, a half a century later, as he played in solitude, considering his cancer and a few remaining days, he thought of Rosalie and what he'd done and didn't do. His memories compelled more music. They often say that when you, towards the end, when, if you know the end's coming, it's not the things that you've done that you regret, it's those that you didn't. And I think that shows in that piece. Really, really awesome share. Before you comment, let me let my little sister Crystal in. Crystal! Hey, doll.
Hi.
Very glad you're here.
Hi, Crystal. Hi, guys.
So good to hear from you. And Linda, will you comment for Gerald, please?
Yeah, I really liked the way he read this. It was very soothing. And a very neat little story. I liked how he ended it the same way he began it. It was kind of clever. But other than that, I think it had really good imagery, and his metaphors were very cool. But all in all, his storytelling is so intricate and involved in this quite short piece. He just wove this fantastic storyline, but once again I just have to say I love how he ended it with "Only I Can Make You Happy." That was just so clever. Thanks for sharing, Gerald.
Awesome comment. Oh, the stupid phone. There we go. Okay, now let me see. Did I push click on that last one? This poem was supposed to possibly get a recording and did not. So the one on the board, would you mind reading that one, Linda?
The Calling?
Yes,
please. Is
that
the one you're talking about? Okay. The Calling by WSP. The village was empty. I stood alone, my path obscured by the moonless twilight. Off in a distance, a siren song calls, pulling my feet down cobblestone street. For every step, the music grew braver. I met my siren, a gothic castle, candlelight peeping through countless windows, beckoning me inside. Safe from the dark, whispering promises of dancing delight. Gates welcomed me with a metallic squeal. The grand hall was jeweled with tiered chandeliers. The Andrews sisters enchanted the air. Sweet sound tickling my ears. Sir, Wunderbar. Yet an old omen still catches my eye. The tattooed statue of a child watches, loitering with a cigarette in mouth, staining the magnificent main entrance, perhaps a misguided joke. I pressed on. With the confidence of a pent-up girl, the castle takes me by my hand and leads swinging, swaying, sweating, swinging some more. Silverware, cocktail glasses, golden lights blend, blurring as I am being swallowed whole. I take a moment to rest and reset, fortunate to have found such treasure. As I reflected, I heard more whispers across the hall. A staircase caught my eye. As if the color had been used up to decorate the rest of the place, it was shrouded, unkempt, yet meant for one. In this descent, the true siren that called. In this descent, the true siren that called. My heart throbbed as I walked toward the edge, like a raindrop returning to the pool. The shades climbs my body as I climb down. I take out my cell phone to shed some light there. An ill omen reaches and grabs me. Before cleaned and loosely stored under the steps, I should turn around and leave. Run away. It calls from the darkness deeper inside. My soul freezes, my worries cry. Helpless, I am a puppet. My strings are being pulled hard. My body drags itself further onward. Light succumbs as the battery life ends. Darkness envelops. I found my calling. The dungeon was empty. I stood alone. In poem. Wow.
Great news. Thank you very much. I think I saved the photo. I'll have to find it. The detail that he went into here. Let me see here. You know what? I'm going to go to the third stanza. With the confidence of a pinup girl, the castle takes me by the hand and leads, swinging, swaying, sweating, swinging some more. Silverware cocktail glasses, golden lights blend, blurring as I'm being swallowed whole. And take a moment to reset, to rest and reset. Whoa, blurring as I am being swallowed whole. There's a visual. The details here, my heart throbbed as I walked towards the edge like a raindrop returning to the pool. I love that, like a raindrop returning to the pool. The shade climbs my body as I climb down and take out my cell phone and shed some light. I love that in the middle of the enchantment, we had to pull out the cell phone. I think that's kind of clever and cool and unexpected. And then towards the end, bones cleaned and loosely stored under the steps. I should turn around and leave, run away. The call from the darkness deeper inside, my soul freezes. I mean, gripping, hanging on the edge of your seat kind of details that he pulled into the room, that the prompts tonight inspired everybody so deeply to come up with these amazing poems. I'm in awe. I always say that, but I am. At the end of a Monday night, I'm saying the goodbyes, and I'm just shaking my head because, like, everybody in this group gets better every single time they pick up the phone. It's a beautiful sight to see. Wow. So, Linda, you were the reader. What did you think?
Well, I liked what you said about his detail. The cobblestone street, the jeweled castle door, what does it say? Candlelight creeping through countless windows. The gates welcome me with metallic squeal. The grand hall was jeweled with tiered chandeliers. It's just amazing, the depth of the detail in this. And I really thought it was cool that his muse was the castle itself, instead of it being a female most of the time, but he chose the castle and he brought it alive. It gave it depth, and I thought that was pretty cool. WSP, you're a brilliant, brilliant writer. And this piece was really cool. So thanks for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And thank you again for reading it. Crystal, will you please comment before you read your poem?
Sure. One thing I do want to add before I comment on the poem. When we first clicked on the poem, I did not read WSP. I thought it said WASP. I thought that was their name. I just thought that was interesting.
Me too, first time I saw it. Me too.
Okay, I'm not the only person then. No, but I love the way that this was. I often really do enjoy story poems, and this is definitely a story poem to me. But it just kind of just starts out already eerie, like the village was empty and I stood alone in the moonless twilight. Like, you already have like this eerie feeling, but I feel like they started it out like perfectly. Like, they already got the set and everything. And then as it continues on, like, the beginning of it, it just is completely just full of imagery and trying to set the scene. And then after that, you kind of get into, like, a climax. And then you start feeling the strong emotions and how they do feel and feeling alone and feeling almost like trapped in some way or another. But yeah, I think that this is almost like a dreamscape almost, but you can feel all the emotions strongly in this, like the definitely some type of sadness, especially at the end. It's a bit dark, but yeah, at the same time, like a beautiful kind of way. But yeah, I think they did a great job.
Fantastic comment. Now I have a question, dear heart. Do you want to push your show before you read your poem or after we comment on your poem?
I'll go ahead and do it now, I guess. Yeah, my show, after several weeks of not having a phone because my phone was broken, but I finally have a show this month, and it's going to be this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. I was debating on what to do, but I thought of just randomly, as soon as I hit create a topic, it came to me, is identity. And I know a lot of people think that it's something you more deal with as you're younger, but I've seen some older people as well deal with it. So any type of poetry on identity, it can be anything, whatever comes to your mind on that word, but we're going to discuss it on Wednesday. And yeah, that's the show.
Cool, Sam. Awesome. So now show us what you got.
All right. This is called Love's Crashing Cushions. Life is sometimes like a morning breeze, drifting the daffodils with soft ease. Life is often like a rainstorm, shrieking thunder to transform. Time shifts to enchanted whispers, revealing the dreams and blisters. Soft cushions of memories flood as butterfly tears drown in the mud. Hourglass figurines sink to the shore, where gardens grow off of peace and war. Tassels of time unravel the truth inside of a desired heart with nothing to hide. Cherishing the waves with sunlight above, shining on the cherubs of life and love. End poem.
I love where you took this. Soft cushions of memories flood as butterfly tears drown in the mud. Now, as butterfly tears, the saddest things I can think of, it's just butterfly tears. Whenever I think of it paired with something, it's usually butterfly kisses, so the tears really hit. The time unravel the truth inside of a desired heart with nothing to hide. Tassels of time, brilliant metaphor there. Man, oh man, towards the beginning, life is often like a rainstorm, shrieking thunder to transform. Your metaphors in this one are brilliant. And even though you haven't added the letters back to your word profile name yet, I am feeling like there at the end, cherishing the waves with sunlight above, shining on the cherubs of life and love. So there's some of that signature hope that you end your poems with. So it's just, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 couplets. And you've got many different emotions. You've got brilliant metaphors, another stellar brevity. You really are excellent at them, at being able to pack in a ton of image and emotion with not a whole lot of words. My, oh my, impressive, dear heart. What did you think?
Thank you, Deb.
Linda, are you muted, hon?
Oh, no. I didn't hear you call me. Okay. Yeah, Crystal, this was really lovely and uplifting. It had awesome imagery, and your rhyming was really spot on. I like the couplets, too, and I like that they rhyme so well. It was really spot on and filled with emotion and metaphorically lovely. You really packed a lot of stuff in. Like Deb said, this is a meaningful, truly meaningful piece. I really liked what you had to say, and I want to thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda, for the comment.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And I don't think Hatter's coming back from dinner, so I'm just going to see where we're at here. Okay. I think I only have a couple left. We did a great time here. Yes, I do. I have two free recordings left. So the first one is by Phil the Poet. And I am going to put that in right now. And paste. And there is Phil's poem. Now let me push play so we can hear his amazing voice. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Time's Enchanted Whisper. A grain of sand falls through a beveled shaped glass. Words formed by butterfly wings fade into, alas. Tattooed message smeared across a themed page. One more grain faints, clinging to the world stage. Truth crossed out so many times that the paper's torn. Time bursts like a bubble on the day it was born, seeing the world through a conclave lens of doubt. The grains pour forth from a large and grievous mouth. Time's enchanted whisper touches the depths of tomorrow, where every synchronized footstep must follow. Down the labyrinth where books and flowers decay, in the blink of an eye, a thousand years becomes one day. The books creak open to reveal the secrets from within. The melody of a trumpet sound, clouds form at the din. Rain pours down, the butterfly lies in white linen. Alongside floats out, looks down on the pericinum. The final piece of grain rattles down the hollow glass. The understanding is clear that all things must come to pass. Words are left unsaid, the sentence is incomplete. No room for merriment, it's time to fall down and weep. End poem.
Oh, what an ending.
Yeah.
Words left unsaid, the sentence is incomplete. No room for merriment, it is a time to fall down and weep. Wow. Okay, second stanza. Truth crossed out so many times that the paper's torn. Time burst like a bubble on the day it was born. Seeing the world through the conclave lens of doubt. The grains pour forth a large and grievous mouth. I think that this is a really, really heartfelt piece here. Time's enchanted whisper touches the depth of tomorrow, where every synchronized footstep must follow. Wow. Down the labyrinth where books and flowers decay in a blink of an eye, a thousand years become one day. I'm really taken by some of the stuff going on in here, especially like the flowers that are decay and that last line, in a blink of an eye, a thousand years becomes one day. This is excellent. Anything goes, Brandon Lee contest. And he won a medal. Easy to see why. This is really, really great. But I couldn't even pick a favorite line because I'm back to that truth crossed out so many times that the paper's torn. That is saying something, you know? The final piece of grain rattles down the hollow glass. The understanding is clear that all things come to pass. Wow. Really fantastic, though. I think this is my new favorite by you. And it seems like I'm saying that each week because you keep blowing my mind with your poem. I say dazzle us, and you do week after week after week. And then coupled by listening to you read it yourself, and you, what more could people... any of us asked for. Fabulous news and very appreciated. Thank you. So I'm trying to find your photo so I can add it to your poem. Loved it. Linda, what did you think?
Well, Phil's always been one of my favorite poets. And yeah, I love to hear him read too. That accent is just like out of this world cool. But I thought it was really deep. And yeah, that line, truth crossed out so many times that the papers is torn. Time burst like a bubble on the day it was born. That's just like awesome writing. The whole thing, a grain of sand falls through a beveled shaped glass. Words formed by butterfly wings fade into a last. He's got such a way with words, and he says a lot with what he writes. His poems always speak of some truth or some tragedy. But I like when he speaks of truths going on, and I think this is like the imagery in this was interesting. It was not so much the bright, colorful imagery that some poems have, but it was more strong and insightful. But, yeah, I really like this piece, Phil. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And before I get one from Crystal, let's say hi to Frank. Hey, Frank. Excellent timing.
Frank here. Hola, Frank.
Hello there, my friend. Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You sure can.
Yes, unfortunately, I had a very terrible, terrible occurrence here tonight. I'm stuck in the middle of a... somewhat of a it was just just an experience I'll never forget.
Sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. Deb. I'm doing all right. I was just caught in a car in the middle of a highway. You know, imagine what that feeling would like. But I thought I'd call in for a bit. I had some time, so I was not able to hear Phil's piece. I do want to say I apologize for that. I was dialing in, but I did hear the comments afterwards.
Yeah, no problem at all. But I'm just about to get another comment for that poem, and then we're going to play yours. So, Crystal, would you comment for Phil, please?
Yeah, I was just pretty much going to agree with both you and Linda on this one, that there is something just very, especially in that ending, but something like very profound, poetic, and also kind of sad. You kind of already took the part that I like, but I'm going to repeat them. Truth crossed out so many times and the paper is torn. Time burst into a bubble the day it was born. I like that, those lines in there, especially in that second stanza, is really well done. And a lot of the rhyme actually in this is really well done, but I wouldn't expect anything less from Phil. But this is, like I said, very profound and beautiful. Like it's different than what you would normally expect usually. It kind of has you thinking, I think. But yeah, I think Phil did an awesome job.
Fantastic comment. And I appreciate it. And we have two poems left. We have the poem by Mr. Poetic Picasso Frank, and then we have the poem by Xylophonic Blue. So if you guys would click on Frank's poem, and then I bet you there's a disclaimer that we need. There usually is. Let me scroll to the bottom.
Is,
yep. Prepare yourself.
The only disclaimer is that there is some sound effects there to this poem I added into, but that's about it. I mean, the laugh is the usual laugh, but I don't think anyone's going to be spooked at this hour right now.
Well, I'll just tell everyone that Poetic Picasso is one of our most dramatic readers, and you'll see why. If you've never heard him, you'll find out why I just said that in just a few moments. Are you ladies clicked on the poem?
I got it.
Here comes Frank.
In the darkest shade of the forest of billowing echoes, lurk rustling spirits of the burial of forsaken people, of the emergence of the mists of an alabaster glow, and the transient glimpse of a full moon of howling walls. The scarlet beady eyes reflect the sodden tear and folding as the whistling winds of death blow over lonesome tombstones covered in the shroudless specks of dust and heavy mire of gloom. Hollow carnations left behind as solemn tokens of wistful memories. A mournful sound of church bells stirs the immortal breaths to rise. The countless spectres of history, condemned to a timeless oblivion, where the corn crows gather at the local Ontario cemetery, when the winds of the midnight awake the wicked ones anew. The cracking branches of the oak tree sway back and forth, and the tawny leaves rustle and scatter across the edge of the river. The dripping drops of blood stain the rusty gate to the old cemetery, as it creaks open to allow us, the roaming ones, to return home. The daunting voices of the peculiar sounds of the crooning lute, the whispers of the night of the haunting strangers of horror, a terrifying reminder of the fateful servants of Lucifer, summoned afterwards by the hungry crows of vengeance. Listen to the children of the night.
Yeah, but even with the disclaimer, it still grabs you. It still gives goosebumps. It's still creepy, creepy good. You know, it's like whoa. And I was just trying to write that between the storytelling itself, the details, the read, that creepy, either sickly animal or crying baby or whatever that was in the background was like, there was just something about this one. And totally blown away by it as usual. And I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to picture you, trying to make sure that nobody thinks of the monster at your house, or Satan himself, and you break into that laughter. I tell you, really, really fantastic. And I love the title too, "The Whispers of the Night." In the darkest shade of the forest, of billowing echoes lurk restless spirits. Those lines right there set up the whole poem. But no matter how many details you put on, or even with the disclaimer, you can't prepare anyone for that ending. When you break out into that laugh, it's like it commands attention.
Okay. Actually, I had a gig yesterday, an acting gig. I did a performance there in front of an audience there. So that I still had fun to do the SoundCloud there, but it was somewhat dark as well. Another thing was that I don't have, as you know, I can't pose pictures. If you could do me the honor there of posting the picture that I chose with the, I think I wasn't certain if it was a raven, a crow, on a tombstone. That's all I could see visually, but I don't know what number it was. I just. Hello?
Hello, hello?
Did I
put you I was saying if you guys, I'm talking to the mute button. I was just saying if you hit refresh, you'll see that with my comment, I also added the photo that Frank wrote to, and then you'll realize that he was spot on with the art as well. And while you're looking at that photo, what did you think, Linda?
Well, you know, you always give me at the end, but this one, because you didn't do it right away, and I was thinking, is he going to do it? No, no, yes, he's got to do it. No, and then you did it, and I jumped out of my chair. But as always, Frank, you have delivered a mesmerizing piece of chilling and horrid beauty. You are quite quickly becoming one of my most favorite poets. I look forward to you reading your work like a child getting ready to eat a piece of chocolate cake. So yummy. Frank, thank you for always putting a chill in my spine.
I appreciate
you,
that. And,
you get me every time.
If I don't have people like you who say those things to inspire me, then I wouldn't be anyone. You know, I always thank my audience, whether it's on the stage or it's on, through the phone, like we are doing now. I always thank those who hear. These are the people who inspire me to continue to do this.
Frank and chocolate cake. What do you know? And Crystal, what did you think?
Oh, wow. What's strange, though, is that I was just reading along with the poem and listening, and I did love the sound effects. It sounded like a wolf or something in there.
Yes, it was.
But that was wolf. Yeah, I heard it, and I was like, oh, I like how that sounds. But
yeah, there's some noise in the other background as well, a crow, and then there's some noises of a child crying as well. So it's a mixture of this and that.
Yeah, I could hear all of them, and I was, like, listening to your reading. And then when you got to the left, I was, like, checking. I was like, did I get scared? And I was like, no, I don't think I did, which I don't know if it's because I'm used to it or I have no idea. But I really liked this, though. Like, it was almost like what you normally can do with, anything horror related is it almost feels like I'm being read to like of a horror film script or something like that. But that's kind of, again, what this one reads to me. And then you have that like amazing, either music or background noises or something. And it just makes it so eerie and spooky and dark, and it's perfect every time. But this one is really good. And you were spot on to the picture. So great job, Frank.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Sam. Crystal, God, I'm so tired. I had a terrible interview tonight, so I'm sorry. I had a spook tonight.
awesome comment for an awesome poem. And the last poem is on the board, but before I push play, I want to see. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I said I can stick around for that. If it's the last one, I can stick around to comment on that.
Hey, Deb, I got to run. I just want to say goodnight to you guys. Thanks for the show.
Thank you, dear Hort. Thanks for hanging out. And tomorrow night, 11 p.m., it's Off the Rack with Raconteur, Flying Blind. And his prompt is unexpected friendships. So wherever those two words just took you, that's what Rap would like to hear from you. And again, that is tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And let's dig in to our last poem for the night. That's by Xylophonic Blues. And if you guys tell me you see it, I will push play. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Morning burns color of sunflowers. Daisies murmuring to the ochre song. Honey straw light watching. The wildflowers dance. Arouse outside the windows that spoke in whispers. Psalms cradle my gilded wings. Sunshade shadow transfixed on the wind whispering. Ruby lips knee-length grasses weave and wait. Butterflies drift propelled life still seizing from orchid to cacao. Celestial eyes tying invisible strings. Saba to banana and fig. Clouds reawaken the world's widower whispering about me. Monarchs walking through the sky. Sighing I'm learning to breathe. Hush child hush. Out of the fire and into the rain. What could be? Oranges bright as flames peeled and thrown in sunshine fields. Syringa buds poise and run. Like ripples lapping. Spindled poppies of sunburnt copper. The souffle embraces the edges of the ramekin. Brilliance flutters. Catching the ceramic sides. Spun as each ingredient blends in. Fluffy flour mixed. With melted butter. Heated harmony upon a wind shadow wandering. Forged lanterns against. Whiskey wine clove. Hair swaying. Churned yolks meeting whole milk. Midsummer madrigals soaked. In a tumbleweed of golden grevillea. Egg whites folded into a mixture peaked. Sweet wax peach painted dream. Morning skin covered apple cider spreading. Alabaster silk, chiffon sends the milky surface soaring. Oven radiates warm translucent glass burning. Puffing a savory balloon. Pirouetting. Rises to each sweet new height. Egg whites tower invisibly. Tick-tock, tick-tock of the timer. The rhapsodic journey upward. Butterfly's enchanted whisper has counted the minutes down, not a second late.
Yes, it helps to unmute yourself. Where do I go? Let me see here. Well, for starters, how many colors? The colors are oozing everywhere throughout the poem. Honey straw light watching the wildflowers dance. Beautiful image there. Psalms cradle my gilded wings. Sunshade shadows transfixed on the wind whispering. Clouds reawaken the world's widower whispering about me. Monarchs walking through the sky sighing. I'm learning to breathe. Love that. The souffle embraces the edges of the ramekin. Brilliance flutters, catching the ceramic sides, spun as each ingredient blends in. I love the wording here. Egg whites folded into a mixture peak. sweet wax peach painted dreams. I'm feeling like it's like a tease for quite a few senses, because you could go the food route, you could go with the scent, you could go with the colors, the image of the forged lanterns against the whiskey wine clove, hair swaying. I mean, really outstanding metaphors in this one. I think this is one of my favorites by him. I love that he put so much color throughout and movement, not only in the words, but in the format of his poem as well. Really fantastic share. Appreciate that, Hal. And through the video as well. Frank, what did you think?
Did you ask me?
What happened?
No, did you ask me? I'm not sure if I heard my name.
Yes, I did, right?
Okay,
yes,
I'm sorry,
please.
I apologize. It's maybe a little... I always enjoy his poetry. You know, he has just a colorful pen to write. You know, he brings in such colorful imagery and such powerful metaphors. You know, this is, I've said it to him before, a while back when he used to call in, that he has his own style, and it's uniquely his. And I think that this poem is a reflection of so much, you know, the beauty, the way he encompassed the prompt itself, it was just so vivid, as his poetry is. It's always vivid. It's just, you know, some might say it's abstract, yet at the same time, it's a beauty in itself, you know, because it's just, the imagery makes you just imagine what he, you know, what he's describing in his poetry. And that's something that I've always said to him, that I admire his ability, because he does it on a consistent level. So this is it's no exception to that. It's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Fabulous comment. Thank you very much. And the last comment for the evening goes to my little sister, Crystal.
Gotta get myself off of mute. Well, for one, I really love that picture. Like, when I picked for my picture, and then I scrolled down to see what anybody else picked, and then I saw blues, and I was like, dang it, I should have been here for sooner. But I really love that, though. But yeah, this to me is just gorgeous. I mean, for one, he always does incredibly well with description, imagery, color, all of that. If I want to read something very abstract and descriptive, I normally would read something of his. And it's always mostly full of nature as well, which I love reading. But yeah, I'd say the lines I like probably the most is the wildflower dance. And then when he says, arise outside the windows that speak and whisper, psalms cradle my gilded wings. A sunshade's shadow transfixed on the wind whistling. Like, I can just imagine the wind and all of those sunflower, goldish, ruby colors and things like that, like the red, the yellow, just that autumn kind of tone. And it's really, really beautiful. But, yeah, I love just how he captures the picture and gives it life pretty much. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I read this comment. Appreciated. And I'm reminding you, Chris, I'm going to be hosting Wednesday night at 9 on Identity. And tomorrow is Raconteur with Unexpected Friendship. Two shows. And on that note, I would like to take a moment to thank all you amazing people. The show wouldn't be anything without the brilliance that each of you bring, and I appreciate you, my goodness, more than you could even imagine. I want to say thank you to my board members, obviously CNAP. I want to say thank you to Mike, to Kay, to Steven, Little Queen Victoria the Kitty, and Wayne, and Linda, and Crystal, and Frank and Gerald and Hal and Bill and Wayne and Allie and Angel and WSP for all the amazing poems that you sent in. And again, to shout Even Shy for singing the beautiful poem that Hatter wrote. Mm-hmm. And on that note, I will take us out. I'm on the board. If you check out the sneak peek at next week's show, my prompt is clouds, and I have some amazing photos for you guys to choose from. So on that note, and speaking of that brilliant song written by my big brother, Jay Hatter, and sung by the one and only Shout Even Shy, that's where we're going out this week. So
take care.
I am going to play. I'm going to say even respect to you all. Appreciate you very much. And see you soon. Here we go.
Take care. Take care, sister.
Watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant.
You just seen how to great singing, Jen. Glad you're back. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye. Good night.
Love and respect. Night, Hatter.